Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. I am calling to you live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We have got a great show for you today, and Rhonda, if I could get into the control panel to unmute you, I would absolutely do it. But I can't get there at the moment. My computer is giving me issues. So bear with me while I try and find a way to get in. We have got my co-host and friend, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady herself, calling to us live this week from the Ozarks, and hopefully I can get in there in a second and get her unmuted.
I'm here.
Oh, yay. Thank you, Rhonda.
Yep. I was in the console. I just had to switch browsers. I was trying to look at the bio for our guest, but I am absolutely here and excited. We had some snow yesterday, about 3 inches, and yet today it's 40-some-odd degrees, and the chickens are very happy because they had to spend the entire day inside yesterday, and now they get out.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
Well, and for our listeners who are calling in for the first time, this is my co-host and friend, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady from ProfitableStorytelling.com. Hello, Miss Rhonda.
Yes.
I'm having computer issues this morning.
Oh, I know that feeling. I had plenty of them, but I'm actually, my old lug is actually being cooperative at this moment, and I'm so grateful.
Oh, well, I finally got it to turn on. It actually was not booting. It was like in a continuous loop and would not start Windows at all. Kind of scary.
Yeah.
So I finally got it to boot, but now I can't get it to connect to the internet. Dang it.
Oh, well, if you need something, I can certainly try to find that for you while we're in the show at least. And
you're awesome. Thank you so much. Well, worst case scenario, I may end up having to turn my phone on to a portable Wi-Fi and let it connect through there if I can't do anything else.
Oh, goodness sakes. Wow.
Worst case scenario, that'll be the plan.
That'll be the plan B or plan C or whatever.
There you go.
Oh, well, it is a great day to make great things happen. And even when there are tech issues and stuff that gets in the way and website issues or whatever, it's just so great to be able to keep moving forward in your business.
It is. And
yeah,
I just got back from JV Alert Live, where I got to meet some of our mutual friends and former guests like Robert Plank and Lance Tamashiro, and boy, lots of great people this weekend at JV Alert.
Oh, I got to get Robert Plank on our show. We've had Lance. We got to get Mr. Robert. That'd be great.
I know. I told him the same thing.
Mm-hmm. I keep calling him every so often, and I'll just have to call him again now that his brain has maybe been tickled about it.
Yeah. And we have got a great guest today, too, don't we?
Yes, we sure do. We are really blessed to have such amazing people in our world and in our lives, and today is certainly no exception. We have somebody, it's really fun. You get to meet interesting people along the way. And a lot of times, if you're really good in keeping in touch with people, as our guest is, you just never quite know what kinds of things are going to come up as long as you keep building the relationship and nurturing the relationship. So today our guest is Tim Law. And Tim Law's website is successlearningsystems.com. successlearningsystems.com. And he is a consultant and a former educator, so this is cool. He is a former coach and teacher, and he really believes in the importance of personal self-reliance, and he has taught this to his students. He consults with a variety of businesses, and primarily offline businesses, and so he continues to assist them with increasing their profits sooner rather than later. And he does this largely through joint ventures. So he uses a variety of really cool and creative strategies. Certainly joint ventures are a big one. And so we're just really excited to have you. You're from York, Pennsylvania.
Welcome. Fritz says hello, if you couldn't tell.
Oh.
Hello, Tim. Welcome
today?
To the show.
Thank
we
you
are
so much.
Great.
Fantastic. I want to wish both of you the very best, as well as a shout out to your excellent audience as well.
Thank you.
Thank you much.
Yep.
Your
Fritz is
like
just this. Being goofy
Hi,
today. He's
Fritz,
just like,
singing.
I want to be on.
You know, he's singing. Oh, no, no, you.
I don't know what's with him. He just started acting up. I'm going to mute for a second, Rhonda. Go ahead.
Fine, I'll go ahead. So, Tim, you never know. Sometimes you hear the rooster crowing on this show, which he came up right near the window right before the show, but he had quieted by that time. And then sometimes, like today, you get to hear Fritz. But we're excited to get to hear from you and for you to share some of the wisdom that you have gained over the years. And one thing that's really fun about this show is just imagine that we're all just sitting at a cafe around a table having a latte or tea or whatever your favorite beverage is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're just visiting and sharing some terrific strategies. And the listeners get to kind of listen in like the eavesdrop on this great conversation, because everything that we're sharing is really to help people who are growing a business. So I welcome you, Tim. I'm so excited that you are finally on our show.
Well, thank you so much, Rhonda. I do appreciate it, and I would certainly encourage your audience, you know, just to take some notes if they, as far as sharing some of the insights with them that I think are going to really help their business. And, you know, since you and I met 2 years ago, Rhonda, you know, I've been so impressed with your level of integrity and proactivity. Those are really two important keys to a business, whether it's writing a book or just living a quality of life. And I'm really feel honored that you and I have got to know each other about 2 years ago. Even though we haven't met face-to-face, we've certainly talked plenty of times on the phone together and emailed, et cetera. So yeah, I'm really excited about our conversation here today.
Well, I really am too, Tim. And what's been terrific is it's true we have not met in person, but one thing is we have continued to stay in touch and just every so often call each other, check in, make an appointment to visit on the phone just to find out what each other is doing in case we can be of service. And I think that if more people did that type of thing, just imagine it would really do great things for their business, Tim.
Absolutely, because I always like to quote various authors, and one is Robert Kiyosaki of Rich Dad, Poor Dad series, and he always talks about how business is a team sport, and
yep.
So it's so important to, you know, be able to network or actually net world with other people, you know, especially people outside of anybody's particular area of expertise, because it just brings in great brainstorming and thoughts.
Right. Yeah, and even if you don't end up necessarily doing a venture that financially profits you directly, you never know, you might get a contact, you might end up working on a project, you might get a great idea or just be able to have another head in on something and get some insight that you might not have otherwise had, right?
Absolutely, sure. Yeah, definitely agree with that.
Cool. So I'd like to start a little bit by finding out about your background, because to me it's always interesting to find out how you got to the place that you are. And you have a background. You and I share the fact that of having been educators. I taught college for 7 years and certainly have done a lot of other teaching in various capacities. And you also started off as a coach and a teacher. So what was that all about, and what brought you from there to being a business strategist and consultant?
Well, what's interesting, Rhonda, back in the mid-70s, when I started teaching, there wasn't really much teaching positions. I almost kind of backed into it as a coach. I was very experienced as far as the sport of wrestling, and this little school in the southern tier of New York needed a coach as well as a social studies teacher. So I kind of backed in that way, and also ended up coaching girls tennis, and I was at that school for a number of years, and then ended up moving down to York, Pennsylvania, which is kind of the southern, south central part of Pennsylvania, and kind of carried on with my business owner, Success Learning Systems, which at the time in the mid-90s on for a while was dealing with our goal setting, self-motivation for teens and young adults, and tried to take the best from the self-help human potential field and apply it so that young people could understand it. And then it just kind of evolved from there, but I became more interested in businesses and everything, that it was a natural evolution to move toward, coaching and consulting them, because I tried to do a great deal of study under some real good mentors as far as business coaching and marketing. So I really enjoyed the journey a great deal.
That's really interesting. You start off coaching kids in sports, and you end up getting to do some teaching, and then you end up transferring what you've learned to business and consulting. So that's kind of an interesting journey. And I mention this because for our listeners, you can bring all of the experiences that you have ever had, no matter what they are, into what you're doing in business. Some people are kind of lifetime entrepreneurs, and I was on the phone with a couple of them the other day where they both had these experiences of always finding ways to sell stuff as a kid or whatever. Not everybody has that same experience, but it just really doesn't matter. You bring who you are with you wherever you go.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, I certainly agree, Rhonda. Absolutely.
Well, what is the biggest thing you bring from coaching and teaching that you adapted into your business that you feel has really helped you to serve your people much better?
Well, again, having a number of different mentors, one of my favorites as far as all what I've learned from books and CDs, as well as actually meeting him in person many years ago, a guy named Brian Tracy, and he talked about the idea that two of the rarest qualities as far as people are concerned, and absolutely applies for business. And you absolutely have it in speed and dependability. And mm-hmm. So many businesses, I'm just amazed with when you reach out to talk to somebody or whatever, they seem real anxious to try to improve and that type of thing, and then you give them a call or you send an email or whatever, and you never hear anything back, and it's like it just amazes me, just the human nature side of things. So that speed and dependability, for any of your listeners out there, I would absolutely emphasize that, where you want to really under-promise and over-deliver. In other words, if something's going to take you, let's say, a week to get the process done for whatever you're doing, let people know that it may be a couple weeks. And then if you do it that much sooner, you make that much more of a good impression. But so many businesses do it the opposite. Oh, yeah, we'll have that in a week or two. And then a month or two goes by, and, you can really hurt the rapport that you had built up with another person or business if you do it that way.
Yeah, you're so right. I'm kind of laughing because I'm remembering a quote from one of the Star Trek movies when the engineer, Scotty, has said how long something would take, and he tells the captain he always multiplies everything by four. So that when everything takes a quarter of the time involved, then that's great. And the captain said, why do you do that? And he said something to the effect that he wants to keep his reputation as a miracle worker.
That's good. That's good. I like that.
I love that. I know I butchered the quote. I'm sure somebody's going to tell me what it was. Okay, whatever. But that's the idea of what
you expect. Well, you got the gist of it. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's just funny. So I hear Dina back with us.
Oh, I've been here. I've been listening.
Cool.
And I've been checking out his site at the same time. And I see that you have rip cards on your site. And I know that we have had the guy from Rip Card on the show in the past.
Oh, Elf Markerson. Great guy. Good friend of mine.
He is a great guy.
He really is.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Kim introduced me to him. That's how he came to be on our show, is because of the
introduction. I had a feeling.
Yep. So, you know, it's just one of those, like, we go back to, you don't know how you're going to serve people, what's going to happen when, but you just keep being present and being of service to people. We always tell you that, right, listeners? If you've been around a while, you've heard it a million times.
Absolutely. And, you know, that really makes me wonder about how relationships have helped you build your business. It's quite obvious just looking at your website that they have.
Right.
Well, yeah, as I've learned from a number of my mentors, Dina and Rhonda, the business is all about relationships. And one of the guys that I've trained under refers to it as a strategy of preeminence, where, you know, you basically look to fall in love with your clients or customers, not so much your good service or product or your business. You fall in love with the people you're working with, and it really separates you from so many people that are just trying to almost live for the moment, and they try to get as much out off the front end as possible, and they really hurt the potential of rapport with in the long run.
Absolutely. So, Rhonda, I didn't mean to interrupt. You go ahead.
Oh, no, not at all. I just wasn't sure or positive if you were done dealing with Fritzy and his singing and carrying on.
Yeah, I'm still not quite sure what's going on with him. We're just going to let him be himself, and he can do what
that's
he wants.
Right. That's
now,
a good
now,
thing.
Who's Fritzy here? Let me see if I can
Fritz
get the
is my
that.
Schnoodle. He is, we've had him with us for about 3 years now. He's
uh-huh.
a rescue originally.
Awesome.
And my goodness, Fritz has so much personality. I can't
mm-hmm.
even begin to tell you. But
mm-hmm.
he can be a real handful sometimes. He does.
Oh, yeah.
He has a mind of his own sometimes, and he talks when he feels like it and jumps in and chimes in when we don't always want it. But
that's okay.
As a sidelight, I thought it might be a pet or a dog there, because my parents a few years ago had a schnauzer named Fritz, and I just wanted to make sure that I was dealing with you as far as an animal before I said that. Found out that it was a person that was named Fritz, and I sit here, you know, telling about my parents having a dog named Fritz. So I'm relieved that it's also a dog as well. So
it is.
Good.
Oh, that's too funny. Too funny.
Yeah.
Well, there he goes again.
Yeah. Well, that's such it is, right?
Yep.
Okay. So sometimes you hear a rooster crowing, and sometimes you hear a dog singing. You just never quite know what you're going to get on Relationship Marketing 101.
You got that right.
And I'm sure the vast majority of your audience are very much into the love of animals as it is. So I'm sure that we're doing fine by them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yep. You have talked about mentoring.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to mute, guys. I'll jump back in when he shuts up a little bit.
It's okay. It's fine. I think it was W.C. Fields who said, never try to follow children or animals on stage, right?
boy, isn't that true. Wow.
Yeah. So you were talking about mentoring. And I
right.
feel some of my first mentors actually were through books or well, one particularly kind of started through a television series program on PBS and then through books. And then, of course, sometimes it's real live people that you have had. So I'd love it if you would share a couple of the most critical nuggets. You shared one from Brian Tracy earlier, but share a couple of other things you've learned from the mentoring that you have had that have shaped who you are and how you do your business.
Well, ironically, you know, we were just talking about Elf Markerson and his rip card. I had the privilege of meeting Elf, who's a great guy out in at a seminar out in Los Angeles. It'll be 4 years this April. Through one of my mentors, a guy named Jay Abraham, who's considered one of the best marketers in the world. And it was really interesting because it was 3 days, very intense. We had 24 really high-powered speakers there, including Stephen M. R. Covey, the son of Stephen Covey, who has a book called The Speed of Trust. And then Stephen Covey himself was actually there on speakerphone. Mark Victor Hansen was there. I mean, some of the best of the best. These guys were just amazing. The message that came across over and over again, Rhonda, and it was probably the, I heard so many great things at this seminar, but the thing that I really took away from it is that we all have about maybe two or three things that we do really well that we really got a passion for. And that's what we should focus on. Do those two or three things that we, and then barter out or delegate out or hire out the other things that we're not real good at. And let me give you an example. I'm not what you'd call, real high tech. I'm of the baby boom generation. However, I understand the necessity for it. So what I've done is I've teamed up with a lot of these younger people that are once I profile them and realize they're good for speed and dependability, and they've helped me tremendously with website work or setting up blogs or whatever. Because I do understand the leverage and importance of it. So that's one nugget right there that I think is critically important is do the two or three things that, that you do really well and then look for ways to team up with others. And whether you trade skills or whatever, I think that is one of the most important things for any business to, get their brain around.
That is absolutely huge, and I so agree with you. And it's all about being creative. And when you talk about partnering up, you're not just talking about outsourcing stuff, but it could be through any number of ways. It could be through bartering, which I happen to love bartering myself. And I've done lots of awesome things through bartering that I wouldn't have at those times had access to otherwise without a lot of more juggling. So that's been very cool. So bartering is one way. Joint ventures are certainly another way. Finding somebody who has something that is a great match for what you're doing and what you have, kind of like the old Reese's peanut butter commercials where the people stumble and one of them's chocolate and peanut butter mingle and they find out it tastes great. So that kind of thing can work so well in business too. So that's a tremendous nugget, though, also of doing working from your strengths. And I think it's one thing that many people, and I've been guilty of this and at times too, of spending too much time on stuff that wasn't in an area of strength, perhaps because of not being able to figure out a way to get it done at the time or whatever, but really through creativity and through joint ventures or finding other people who have something you lack, one way or the other you can find a solution, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you make a great point about a lot of times we're brought up kind of culture-wise to work on our weaknesses or whatever. But, again, some of my mentors have made the great point, similar to what you just said, Rhonda, and that is, even if we work on our weaknesses, at best we're going to make them mediocre versus the idea of getting into our passion and our strengths, focused on that, and then teaming up with others that can more bring their strengths into our weaknesses, and we're much, much stronger. So we spend all the time trying to improve a weakness, and we move it up to mediocre. It's still not, anything that's going to create all that much value for other people.
Right, absolutely. And working from your strength is also a whole lot more fun. When I do the stuff that's fun for me, I light up, and so does everybody else.
Sure. Yeah, makes total sense, absolutely.
That's really great. So, and some good advice. And you have you had mentors for much of your life, or was it a fairly recent? I'd love for you to share some about that.
Well, what's interesting is the first mentors that I had obviously were my parents. I was very fortunate. I chose the two greatest parents in the world. That's for sure. And when they go from being your parents to being your best friend, that's a pretty neat evolution. So those were my first mentors, and then as I got into high school sports and everything, I had some high school coaches, and then ultimately started to focus more later in high school and college in the sport of wrestling, where I actually was mentored by an outstanding college coach. And this gentleman would have, during my early years in college, all through my years in college, he had these coaches' clinics going on, and these guys that he would bring in were national champions or Olympians. I mean, they were the best of the best in this country. And the other guys that were my age as well that went to these clinics, since we were like 19 or 20 years old, these guys would actually demonstrate the moves on us. And what was really neat was not only did I get to see the move, but I actually got to feel it as well. And later on, as I became a coach myself, it was very, very useful. So I was fortunate from an early age to understand the value of mentors. So it was just a natural, I'm going to keep using that word, evolution, to seek out some people that I found that were pretty good as far as business mentors, because it just shortcuts the time so much versus, you know, none of us are going to live forever, and yet we don't have time to find out every lesson ourselves. So we can positively model or learn from a mentor. It just basically shortcuts the learning curve so much quicker.
And I'm sure that everybody on the planet has many more things that we would like to do or accomplish or experience in our lives than we're ever going to have time to. So the message here is, why put more time and effort than necessary into something that you can benefit from mentoring rather than have to struggle through it yourself. There's no gain by struggling through something, you know, versus having a mentor. You might as well get some guidance.
Well, and the other thing that a mentor can do is a mentor really can help you to get a system that is already proven effective, that already gets results, to make it easier for you so you don't have to create a system from scratch. You can simply duplicate success instead of reinventing mediocrity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well put. Well put. Absolutely. Sure.
That's a great quote right there.
I believe that is a quote from Napoleon Hill.
I think it's a very similar. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was kind of the granddaddy of the self-help human potential movement. He was
you got
amazing. Because all these other guys have been kind of his proteges. He was really the one that got it rolling.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's tremendous. So that's been a really big part of your life. And you talk about speed and dependability quite a bit, and I remember when I first met you, you basically put me through kind of a test to see if I was going to be the kind of person you'd want to keep up with, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Did I do that, Rhonda? Did I do that?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I don't mean that in any kind of a bad way or a put down at all. It's that, you know, that sense of once I passed a certain, you know, level of, I followed up really quickly, and then you opened up more to me. And if I hadn't, I'm sure we would not be having this conversation right now.
Well, I try to do that with a variety of people, again, because I'm, you know, of the baby boom generation and everything, and you find out as you learn more about human nature that again, one of the rarest qualities and traits, again, according to Brian Tracy, is lack of speed and dependability. So that's why, as I said before, Rhonda, as you and I stayed in contact and got to know each other better, I was always so impressed with how quickly you did, you got back, whether email or a call or whatever. And I use it almost as a sorting process, because I really believe in working with, businesses and trying to help them as far as creating more value. And as I think I'd said earlier, just the idea that some people that just, no, they don't even return a phone call or an email after you're trying to inquire about their good service or product, and they won't get back to you. It's like, it's just amazing to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the simple fact of the matter is that you really shouldn't work with just anybody. You should really work with the people who are a good fit, that are the people that you really want to work with, that you like to work with. you know, it would be great if we could help every person on this planet personally, but it's just not a reasonable, realistic goal. If you can really work with the people you want to work with the people that you can make the biggest difference for, you'll get better results, and so will they.
Sure, sure. No, that makes total sense, for sure.
So in your business, do you work with more offline business owners or online business owners?
I can do either one. The great thing about some of the mentors that I've learned from is that they've worked with such a variety of businesses that and the marketing ideas and principles are pretty much universal as far as the direction you can go. Let me just give you a quick example. There's really only three business dynamics as far as the business or purchasing process, and the hardest one by far is securing the client or customer in the first place. And this is certainly the most challenging issue in every business. The next two, but again, this is where you have to have the rapport going. The next two are the frequency of the sale, how often they purchase from you, and then the other one is the upsell. For example, McDonald's statistically tracked the idea that when people came into their restaurant and they did this, is that if they say, would you like fries with that, with as far as the meal, they found that 15 to 20% of the people would say yes. So when you look at the volume of any individual McDonald's restaurant or store, and then you multiply it by the number within the country, that 15 or 20% upsell is absolutely huge as far as their bottom line is concerned. So understanding those three dynamics is really, really important. But what happens is, because people drop the ball on speed and dependability, they never really they end up losing the rapport, and they never get to where all the value is, which is the frequency of sale or the potential upsell with other people. So, you know, just using that as a principle of business is so critically important.
Uh-huh. Some great
points. Yeah, that really is.
Yeah.
And whether you're an offline business or an online business, 15 to 20% of your customers will make purchase number two with you as long as you actually ask for the sale. So
exactly.
Why not add all that extra revenue?
Well, that is the actually best time to actually ask for an additional purchase or whatever is right there at the point of sale, and possibly give them a better deal by bundling your services or product or whatever, so that it's win-win all the way around for both the client, most importantly the client, and then also secondarily for the business owner.
Yeah. And Rhonda, I think I cut you off there, so go ahead.
Oh no, I mean, I'm just saying this is really some great teaching, and I'm hoping that people are paying attention to this. It's everything that you can do to stack the odds in your favor is going to help you. And it's not just about the automation or the tools that you use or what your website looks like. It's really how you as a person and how your company interacts with people.
Well, Rhonda, you had asked about, various nuggets that I learned. Another thing that I learned at this Los Angeles seminar 4 years ago, which was just very, very helpful, was the idea that if you go back 30 years ago, we were getting about 300 messages a day, billboard, newspapers, television, radio. Today, it's estimated by these guys that really, really knew their things on marketing, it's over 3,000 a day and growing because of the electronic media, the internet, everything like that. So, and actually, I think it was the summer of 2010, if I've got my numbers right, that the Google actually crawled their 1 trillionth with a T site in the summer of 2010. And so the idea that a person has a website and everybody's going to beat a path to it is delusional, because you have to be able to do more to separate yourself out because of all what I refer to as the clutter, the sheer number of messages we're getting every day. And then also the caution. I refer to it as the Bernie Madoff effect, where people are extremely cautious as far as doing business with others, until they actually get to know them and develop that rapport and trust.
I don't know if you've seen a movie called The Greatest Movie Ever Sold. Have you seen that movie, Tim?
No, I have not seen it. No.
You can rent it at your local Redbox. It's an awesome, awesome movie. The movie is really kind of cool. It's put out. It was created by Morgan Spurlock, the guy that did Supersize It, which is really about the upsell and the back end.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
It's a movie about financing a movie. So it's all about how he got the money to create the movie in the first place. And in it, he's talking about advertising and marketing, et cetera. Well, one of the examples as a case study that he's used in the movie is Rio de Janeiro. In Rio, they had so much advertising all over the place, from the sides of buildings to billboards to the cars, literally so much advertising. But instead of the average person seeing 3,000 messages a day, it was approaching 5,000 to 6,000 messages a day.
Wow.
And it was so much that the people were actually getting sick. There were actually more accidents because of it. So Leo got upset and said, you know, this is getting to the point of ridiculous.
Sure.
So they passed a law prohibiting all forms of advertising publicly. So all the buildings had to be redone, taking all the advertising messages off, getting rid of the billboard ads. The taxis couldn't have banners all over them, et cetera. And once that happened, they had before and after pictures of what the city looked like. Oh, my goodness. Didn't even look like the same place because of it.
How about? Yeah.
So when Morgan came into the city, he went around interviewing the local business owners, expecting that he would hear from them that their businesses were massively suffering because they could no longer advertise the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really amazing, the responses that he got from his business owners. They actually said that not only was business not suffering, business was actually booming even more than ever before. And when he said, well, what do you attribute that to? They said, well, people are now actually spreading our word and our message via word of mouth instead of relying on the billboards.
Mm-hmm.
And that word of mouth advertising, the viral advertising, if you will, was so much more powerful that it was actually causing their businesses to grow instead of having the business really suffer from it. And isn't that what business is all about in the first place? If you can really get your customers to talk about you and your business and get your customers to spread the word for you, the relationships grow your business in a way that you can't really even pay for enough advertising to accomplish the same result.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. No, it makes a lot of sense. Yep.
Really good movie. Really good movie.
I made a note of it, Dina, and I'm going to see if I can get a hold of that. I would like to see it.
Find your local Redbox.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is it on Netflix now?
Yeah, it has a DVD on Netflix, so you can get it that way.
Oh, awesome.
As well, and I have it. Last time I checked, it wasn't streaming yet, but it was on the DVD. So, yes, you can get it either way, whichever is easiest for you.
Okay.
Fantastic movie. I talked about it for weeks when I first saw it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and obviously those businesses that are getting more business understood the power of relationships, because people are not going to recommend to their friends and family and relatives, et cetera, you know, a place that's really not treating the customer or client the right way.
You got it.
So the businesses that were doing that obviously had an uptick as far as the positive referrals and everything, and I'm sure the ones that were kind of the less than desirable or less integrity businesses, they probably went the way they should have, which is out of business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That word of mouth can cut both ways, and it does cut both ways, as it should.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, too often businesses really don't spend enough time thinking about what they should do to treat their customers better. Even little things, like last night. It was our 19th wedding anniversary yesterday. So we went to one of our very favorite restaurants last night. And it's a place we go maybe once a week.
Wow.
Monday nights, they normally have a different staff. It's not the same chef. It's not the same maitre d', not the same waiter or the manager. So we show up last night, and, of course, we've not seen this manager before. The chef doesn't know us. I order my normal dish. It's not something that's on the menu, but every time I go, I order the same thing, and they always make it just right.
Mm-hmm.
They bring it out. It's not the right way. It's got the wrong pasta sauce. It's got stuff that I didn't ask for in it. I'm like, this isn't what I wanted. Send it back. They bring it back out. They took the stuff out that I didn't want, but they still have the wrong sauce. So I send it back again. So finally I get the third one, and it's still not really what I wanted, but now Bill's done eating, so I'm like, screw it, I'm just going to eat. So I eat my dinner. Now I've got to go to the ladies' room. Well, they've moved from the upstairs of the restaurant to the downstairs, and I don't know where the ladies' room is. So I ask, oh, it's in the restaurant next door. It's a little bit of a walk. Well, I don't walk so good. Luckily, Bill says, don't worry, honey, I'll take you there. So he takes me to the restroom. I get locked in the bathroom. The door is warped, and I can't get out of the bathroom, and I'm pounding, and I'm frightened. Finally, Bill has to literally lift the door up to get me out of the bathroom. So we go back to our seat. We sit down. I'm, like, all upset. I order dessert. They charge me for all three orders that they brought out that I didn't eat and didn't take home that I sent back.
Man.
We pay our bill, and I'm just like, you know, let's just get out of here. So as we're leaving, the guy who is the manager last night says, oh, I just realized that it's your anniversary. Why don't you go to the bar next door and I'll buy you guys a drink? And Bill says, look, it's been a long night. We just want to go home. Why don't you give us a coupon and we'll use it the next time we come back? So he writes on the back of a menu, good for one free anniversary drink. Not one for each of us, one free anniversary drink.
Wow.
Now, if I was not a regular of this restaurant, do you think I'm going to come back to claim my one free drink later? Absolutely no way.
Well, that's another nugget right there that, you know, the opposite scenario you experienced is that none of us are selling a good, a service, or a product. We're selling a feeling state or a mood.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And so many people think they're just selling, you know, widgets or whatever, and you're not. You're actually providing a particular experience, feeling, state, or mood for people that want to, you know, hopefully come back.
Precisely. So now while he's writing out my one free drink coupon, I say, by the way, I got locked in your ladies' room. You might want to have someone check the door. Now, I've already told this to my waitress, who explains that she's gotten stuck in there earlier that day for almost 45 minutes.
Wow.
So she's done it too, not just me. He tries to argue with me, oh, you just didn't turn the handle all the way. And I'm like, yes, I did turn the handle all the way, both directions. And he proceeds to argue again, oh, it's just a tricky thing, you know, it's not a big deal. Well,
wait,
wasn't
it,
that I got stuck in the ladies' room?
Your ideal line back to him, Dina, would have been, oh, I see you have experience with the ladies' room. How did you get out of there, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't just the ladies' room. It was the handicapped ladies' room. A handicapped person is not going to be able to go through all the rigmarole. And he actually argued with me so much that my husband had to say, look, it is not a sticky handle. My wife is not telling you a lie. I physically had to lift up the door. Oh, that must be something new. Well, you know, don't argue with me. I'm sorry, ma'am. Come back next time. Here's a meal on us would have been a good answer.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's another nugget, if you will. Don't argue with the customer. The customer is always right. Whatever it is, even if you knew about it, it is your problem, not the customer's.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
clearly I will be bringing this up with management the next time I go.
Oh, sure.
Oh, you think?
Sure, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no kidding. And they'd be lucky to have you even come back after an experience that horrendous. You know, I mean, one thing, one meal being a little off, a person can forgive. One experience that's a little off, sometimes if they like you enough, they'll come back. But, boy, you stack it up too much and you lose people.
Yep.
Sure, sure, definitely, definitely.
It certainly was not the kind of experience that would make me want to tell my friends about them, not make me want to bring everybody I know to this place because it was so amazing.
Well,
yeah.
I always try to do a little tongue-in-cheek humor here, Dina, and I think you needed Fritz the Wonder Dog to get you out of that bathroom.
There you go. I probably did, didn't I?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I think any song to the management for you.
Too funny.
Yeah,
so that's a really good advice there on all of that, just great things to keep in mind as you're going through and doing everything in your business to serve people. It's not about having the sparkliest, fanciest stuff. It's really all about how you come across. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I also noticed on your website that you talk about joint ventures, and you even have some recordings on your site for people to learn a little more about joint ventures. Let's talk about joint ventures for a little bit. How do you use joint ventures with your clients?
Well, there's a variety of ways. I'd like to kind of talk about a couple of the key principles as far as a joint venture.
That would be awesome.
If a joint venture is set up the right way, they can be very powerful. But they're also easy to kind of mess up. And I'm going to kind of give a couple of the key principles behind them. The first principle is access, whether you have access to a particular person or business. And then the second part has to do with your affinity or rapport with those that person or business, how well you get along with them, that type of thing. And then the third one is that thing known as delivery. Hopefully you're under-promising and over-delivering. And so basically, when a person is involved trying to set up a joint venture, that's what they need. They need the access to the business or person or know somebody that has it, be able to set that affinity rapport up, and then make sure that when they do this, they actually, deliver on what they say they're going to do. And actually, you can be extremely creative as far as joint ventures are concerned. And, I've heard of them being done between competitors. I mean, it can be done that way as well. And just as an example, I'm actually involved with a joint venture with a gentleman right now, and his specialty is granite kitchen countertops, and so he and I are actually doing a joint venture together, and I'm actually working, coaching, and consulting him, but we're also setting him up with joint ventures with other businesses. For example, he did a granite countertop on this one local restaurant, and they're more than willing to, post some of his information on his granite countertop, on their top, that this was done by Atlanta Custom Granite here in York, Pennsylvania. And basically anybody that sends him a client or somebody that gets involved doing the granite countertop of a previous client that he has, we're working it out so that as a thank you, he sends them a very, very generous gift certificate, perhaps to that local restaurant or a gift shop or that type of thing. So what we're trying to do is to help his business continue to grow by encouraging people that he's already done the great work for to, help him out as far as some, further word of mouth. So, I mean, there's all kinds of ways with joint ventures. I really get excited about them.
I do as well. Let me just define joint ventures for our listeners who maybe never had the experience of a joint venture. A joint venture is very simply the coming together of two or more people or entities, so people or businesses, to achieve a mutual goal or purpose. So it's got to be something that has three wins, a win for you, a win for your JV partner, and more importantly than anything else, a win for the customer. If the customer can buy the granite countertop and get a bonus of a free gift certificate to a restaurant, that's a big win for the customer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he's selling granite countertops for, say, commercial applications only, and giving them that bonus of the gift certificate really isn't going to help the business owner who buys the granite countertop, maybe not such a great joint venture.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as both of the businesses serve a similar audience, what a great joint venture.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
One of the more unique offline joint ventures that I did a couple years ago involved my cousin's restaurant. My cousins have a restaurant called Fred's Diner. Fred is their dog. He's their pet chihuahua. And Fred's is actually a restaurant that caters to dog owners. The whole half of the restaurant is a covered patio that's all dog-friendly. You can bring your dogs. The dogs actually get their own little bowls, their own little bowl of water, their own little bowl of food, et cetera. And everything about Fred's is designed to bring in dog owners as opposed to just people in the local area.
Mm-hmm.
When they first opened, they had a huge benefit that they didn't plan on. In the following 4 weeks, there were three different dog-related movies that came out. One of the first joint ventures we set up was with the local movie theater that was debuting the movie Hotel for Dogs. So we set up a press release to tell the local media about this joint venture. If you ate dinner at Fred's, you could then get a coupon for a buy one, get one free to watch Hotel for Dogs at the local movie theater.
Wow.
If you bought
two
tickets at the local movie theater, you could get a gift certificate for buy one, get one free at Fred's after the movie.
Beautiful.
All we did was tell the local media through a press release. It brought
mm-hmm.
the radio station to air their show 3 hours from the movie theater and 3 hours from Fred's the day that the movie opened.
Wow.
6 hours of radio coverage constantly talking about both Fred's and the movie theater brought in so many reservations at Fred's that they were packed for weeks. What a perfect joint venture, right?
Beautiful. Yeah, it's brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
It's absolutely brilliant. Brilliant. Mm-hmm.
So 6 weeks later, the first Buddy's movie debuted on DVD. Well, it worked once. Let's do it again. So we went to two local video rental companies. We gave them some Post-it note coupons to put on the cover of the Buddy's movie that was coming out. If you rented the Buddy's movie, you got to buy one, get one free at Fred's. When you go to Fred's and buy two entrees, you get a free rental of the Buddy's movie at these video stores when you rented another movie at the same time. Again, we sent out press releases. We got newspaper ads. We got a mention on the end of the local news a couple of times. Both businesses ended up with a lot more customers because of it. And again, a perfect joint venture because they served the right audience.
Well,
you
look at what you're doing with that. As far as the hardest part of any part of the buying transaction is getting the customer or client to come in the first place. And look
you
what you
got
did.
It.
You just rock that. Now, do you think the frequency of sale and your upsell potentially that would spawn from that wouldn't, pretty well, take off from that? So you did something so brilliant to get them to come in the door in the first place.
Absolutely. And, you know, any business, whether it's an online business or an offline business, can ask themselves, what other businesses already are doing business with my potential customers?
Mm-hmm.
If you can start with that as a question and then start thinking about ways to get the other business who already has your customers as customers to send them back to you, you can be really creative when it comes to joint ventures. There are so many different ways to use joint ventures to get more customers in the door.
Mm-hmm.
But joint ventures work for any asset you need. Even getting products to sell, joint ventures can work great for, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
Joint ventures can also be your entire business. I'm known as the JV Queen. For many years, all I did for my business, I had nothing to sell. My entire business was setting up joint ventures between other businesses, and then I would get a cut of all the sales that the joint venture would come in. That's how I made my money for, I don't know, 7 or 8 years.
Wow. It's just a great position to be in, too. You know, you're kind of controlling both ends of the gate of the transaction.
Absolutely. And, you know, you can take a cut on both sides.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Very, very lucrative business. I had $9.9 million worth of medical bills over a 10-year period, and I paid off the vast majority of my medical bills just from making my money through joint venture brokering.
Wow. Wow, that's fantastic. What a great story that is. Fantastic.
Very lucrative. Very, very lucrative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're fast running out of time, and so I wanted to give Tim's website once again so that people can find you, Tim, and it is successlearningsystems.com is where you can find Tim Law, and of course that link is also in the show notes for today. So what would be one parting quick thought that you have, Tim, before we go?
Well, I think the parting quick thought for both of you, first of all, thank you. Gratitude for being on your show here. And the other parting thought is that for any of your listeners to realize is that business is about relationships, and that you're not selling a good service or product. You're selling a feeling, state, or mood. As Dina mentioned, as far as that restaurant disaster that she had gone to, and that if people understand that they fall in love with their clients or customers, that and they're doing things as far as their passion is concerned, that their business will flourish.
Well, thank you so much for being here, Tim. I really enjoyed having you as a guest. And look forward to connecting with you after the show. If I can do anything to help you in your business, please just reach out and let me know.
Okay, well,
Likewise.
Thank you, ladies. I appreciate, you know, all your time as well. Thank you so much.
And Rhonda and I will be back next week for another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks so much, Rhonda.
Thanks. It was a great show. Thank you, everybody.
Back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.